بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له إقرارا به وتوحيدا وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم تسليما مزيدا أما بعد And to continue inshallah where we left off yesterday, taking work or studying the works of that great Imam, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah ta'ala, where he had a risala, Asbab al-Sabr ala Adha al-Khalq, the means of patience or remaining patience upon the harm which has come by way of the creation. And we said that Sheikh Abdul Razak, a current scholar that is present today, alive today in Medina, he took this work and added some notes and slight explanation, and then he named his small risala Al-Umur Mu'ina ala Sabr ala Adha al-Khalq. So this is what we are working from. So before we start, inshallah, if I could have your attention and focus just from what you can remember without looking at your notes, just that we know, alhamdulillah, can anybody recall the first two points that we covered? So we mentioned first and foremost a muqaddimah, like an introduction of the virtues of patience. And then we mentioned the actual points that will aid, the matters that aid a person remaining patient when harm has come to him by others. So, can anybody remember anything from the virtues of patience, inshallah say? From what you can remember without looking at your notes, just for anything that you can remember. Anything comes to mind? Aywa? Okay, that's kind of right. We just need some extra kind of wording. So I think the brother was saying when a calamity befalls you, then one checks himself and then returns to forgiveness, which is correct. Anyone else can elaborate upon anything from the lesson yesterday? Anyone else? Remember, I always say as a side note, to the students whenever I give lessons, remember, the work and the revision that you do at home is just as important as attending the lesson, if not more important. Because when you attend the lesson, then you're just absorbing the information. You're just documenting the information. But it's when you go home and then you look at your notes, and then you go over your notes, this is when it will stick. So it is extremely important. Whatever method you find works for you, whether you want to go back to the recordings and then listen to the recording again and take notes, or you make notes while you're at the lesson, whatever works for you. I mean, I would strongly advise you take notes at the lesson as well, and then go back to the recordings. But remember, and I always say this, one of our scholars once said to us, he said to me, when I first left Medina and I returned back to England, and I questioned a scholar, I sought his advice. And then his advice to me was, نَحْنُ لَنَنْظُرْ إِلَىٰ أَيْنَ دَرَسْتْ. We will not look to see where you have studied and who are your mashayikh, but what we will look to is your fruits of your dawah, the lessons and the dawah that you are doing. We will look to your fruits. There we will see whether Allah has blessed you with tawfiq. So I always strongly encourage the people that attend the lessons, Alhamdulillah, let's be students that not only do we take a portion of the reward of attending a lesson, and we've heard about the angels are dispatched, Alhamdulillah, and they make dua for those who attend. That's beautiful. But capitalize even more than that. Also be individuals that are actually progressing in your knowledge. That's for me the most important part of a lesson. I always say to my students, the ones back home in England, that you need to aid me to be somebody bi-idhnillah, that if I'm no longer here, then you can at least say you did benefit, that I was, after Allah's permission, I was a means of transmitting some kind of ilm, knowledge of the mashayikh to you, where you benefit and utilize that in your lives, and at the same time you teach your loved ones. So it is extremely important that you become students that are advancing. Don't be of those individuals that have been Muslims for 10 years, 15 years, and yet you're on the same level of knowledge of when you first entered and embraced Islam. That is something that you must, and you are the best judge. Look at yourself and check yourself. Like, I became Muslim when? 10 years ago? I became Muslim perhaps 5 years ago? Then ask yourself, from the time when you became Muslim to now, have you advanced? Have you learned Quran? Have you learned a bit of Arabic? Or have you learned something by way of benefits or studying a book? And this is not me reprimanding you, because wallahi, I fall short myself. But it's just a collective advice that we come together as brothers and sisters, and we advise and encourage one another that we are students of knowledge, that we are advancing. And it doesn't mean you have to do a lot, but like I said, give a portion of your day, just like how you give a portion of your day for work, you give a portion of your day for eating, you give your portion of your day for relaxing, you give a portion of your day for all sorts of other things, then give yourself also a portion of your day where you give time to knowledge, because you are in more need of knowledge than food and drink, as the Salaf they would say. The Salaf they would say that mankind is in more need of knowledge than he is of food and drink. So inshallah, we'll continue today. Let me just take some water. I'm getting a bit of slight itch in the throat. Bismillah. So we took 2 points yesterday. The first point that we took was that a slave or a person sees that the calamity has reached him. The first protocol is that he knows that Allah allowed this to happen. So then that makes him move on to the next stage, where he checks himself and then he acknowledges his shortcomings with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and knows that due to his shortcomings, perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed this to occur. So today, inshallah, we'll move on to the third one, the third point. So you ready? So Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah yaqul, يَشْهَدَ الْعَبْدُ حُسْنَ الثَّوَابِ الَّذِي وَعَدَهُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلُّ لِمَنْ عَفَى وَصَبَرُ. That the third one is that a person views and looks that the recompense for an evil is an evil. Mean that if you do an evil, what comes from that is an evil and the like thereof. But whoever forgives and makes reconciliation, then his reward is due from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the third point, that A person looks at the tremendous reward that Allah has promised those who pardon and remain patient. So maybe that is a better wording for the chapter heading. Because the first one I started off was the actual verse. But better to put as point three, the tremendous reward that Allah has promised for those who pardon and remain patient. And the proof of that is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَجَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةٍ سَيِّئَةٌ مِثْلُهَا. Allah, He mentions, the recompense for an evil is an evil like thereof. But whoever forgives and makes reconciliation, then his reward is due from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah mentions at the end of the verse, إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الظَّالِمِينَ, that indeed Allah does not love the ظالمون, meaning the wrongdoers, the oppressors. Allah does not like or love them. That there is in Surah Ash-Shu'ara, verse 40, for those of you that want the reference. So that is the title. Tremendous reward that Allah has promised those who pardon and remain patient. Then listen to what Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah goes on to mention. وَلَمَّا كَانَ النَّاسِ in the مُقَابَلَةِ الْعَذَىٰ ثَلَافَةِ الْأَقْصَانِ. Mankind, people, are in three categories in regarding those who do harm to them. So when harm reaches a person, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said that the one that the harm is done to, there is three categories or three types of people. Is that understood so far? Mafhoom? Okay. So he explains. He said the first one is, so this is the one. So just to make it easy for you to understand, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said that when harm reaches a person, so let's say Ahmed is going to harm Yusuf. So the one that is being harmed is who? Yusuf. So Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah mentioned that this person, Yusuf, the one that is harmed, when harm reaches him, there is three types of people. They're categorized in three, the one that is being harmed. The first one, he said, ظالم, the oppressor. يَأْخُذُ فَوْكَ حَقَّ, that when wrong, the ظالم, the one that when he is wronged, he takes revenge. And he takes more than is due to him. When he is wronged, he wants to take back that which occurred to him and more. So Ahmed harmed Yusuf. So Yusuf, now the first category is Yusuf becomes a zalim, an oppressor, because he takes revenge to Ahmed. And when he takes revenge, not does he only take revenge, he goes beyond what Ahmed did to Yusuf. He goes beyond and takes more than his right. So then he now becomes the zalim. Is that understood? So that's the first category. The second one, muqtasid, ya'khudhu biqadri haqqi. The second one is the muqtasid, the one that takes back only his right. If he is harmed by somebody, then he only takes back that right. So he is just and in the middle path. He only takes back his right, what is due through the Sharia of Allah, through the law of Allah, or whatever is his right, he takes that. So he is muqtasid, middle and fair and just. And the third one, the third category is al-muhsin. The muhsin, the righteous one that receives the title of muhsin, he is the one who pardons and he forgives and he shows patience and he leaves taking his rights. He leaves taking his right and seeks his reward with Allah. He is the Muhsin. So look that even when someone wrongs you, the one that is being wronged, the way he deals with it, he can fall in one of three categories. So what are these three categories? A quick recap. Can anybody say off the head? Number one is, huh? The one who takes revenge and goes beyond. He's referred to as Zalim. Okay. Number two? Huh? Ahsant. He only takes back according to what the Sharia has allowed and he's fair and just. And the third one? Al-Muhsin. And what does the Muhsin do? Okay, he pardons and he forgives. This category is from the hardest categories to be in. This category here, as our Sheikh Abdullah Bukhari, on a side note, it's not mentioned in this book, but I remember our Sheikh Abdullah Bukhari, he said that this category, because there are certain matters that befall a slave, that you have no choice. Because certain trials that you have, pay attention to this, certain trials that you have, there is ikhtiyar wa darura. So certain trials are, you have a choice, or there are certain trials where it is darura. You have no choice but to remain patient. So for example, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala test you by way of sickness, whether you like it or not, you have no choice but to accept it. So in this example, if you are patient and accept that it's from Allah, but you are patient, then you will receive reward. But if you're not patient and don't accept that it's from Allah, still you're stuck with the sickness. But depending on your intention, you will receive reward or not receive reward. But there are certain things, certain trials that have come to you by harm of others. When others harm you, then you have a choice to enforce revenge or to pardon. And to remain patient then, Sheikh Abdullah Bukhari said, this is extremely difficult. Because the soul is created in a way that he wants to take revenge. The soul is such that it la yuhibb al-ghalaba, as Sheikh Abdullah Bukhari explained. The soul, it doesn't like to be conquered. A human being doesn't like to be harmed and conquered and overpowered. That's just the way the human man is. It leans to wanting to take revenge. And Sheikh Abdullah Bukhari said, this is from the hardest categories of sabr. When someone is wronging you, when you have that ikhtiyar and you to remain patient with that ikhtiyar means, my brother, a choice. You have a choice whether to enforce revenge or you have a choice to remain patient. That is from the hardest levels of patience. And he said that there is the level of the anbiya wa siddiqeen. That is the level of prophets and the level of siddiqeen, the truthful ones. Not everyone can reach that level. As we have mentioned here, the level of the Muhsin, the third category. Muqtasid. No. Muqtasid. Muq bi meem qaf al-thaqil ta saad dal. Taib. So now, Sheikh Abdul Razak, he explained some of these wordings now, what Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he mentioned. He said, مرتب الأولى, the first level. مجازة على سيء سيء مثله ومقابة المعدي بمثل ما عدا دون التجاوز تعد فهذا جائز. He said, the first one is to meet an evil or meet the harm or to face the transgressor with the same transgression. And this is derived from the verse وَجَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةٍ سَيِّئَةُ مِثْلُهَا, that the recompense of an evil deed is an evil deed مثل, similar to it, or a deed similar to it. So this being giving back the same, طيب, that is the مُقْتَصِد. So the ayah, he's breaking the verse down, which, because these three categories are taken from the verse. So the مُقْتَصِد is taken from جَزَا سَيِّئَةٍ سَيِّئَةُ مِثْلُ. Then he said, the other part, فَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحَ فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. So as for the one who forgives and makes reconciliation, then his reward is with Allah. This part of the ayah is which category? Al-Muhsin. طيب. فَمَنْ عَفَى, the one who forgives, وَأَصْلَحَ, and makes reconciliation, فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ, then his reward is Allah. That is the Muhsin. And as for the third one, the one أَشَدُّ مِنَ الْمِثْلِ, the one that transgresses and takes more, then that is derived from the part of the verse where he mentions إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُ الظَّالِمِينَ, that indeed Allah does not love the oppressors, those who transgress. So those of you that want to go back, go to Surah Ash-Shu'ara, طيب, Surah Ash-Shu'ara, verse 40, and you will find this verse, and then you can go back and see how Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah derived three categories of people when they harmed from this verse. So Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, then he went on to mention a hadith. He said, "Fi bab al-husn al-thawab," regarding the one that pardons and seeks his reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then there is a hadith that he mentions, "Nada al-munadi yawm al-qiyamah," there will be a caller that will call out on the day of judgment. And it mentions, every person on whom the reward has become obligatory for Allah, then let him stand, let him come forward. Because the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, the one that pardons, then his reward is with Allah, as mentioned in the verse. So this hadith mentions that the one that the reward has become obligatory for him, then let him step forward on the day of judgment. Allah will say, and another hadith it mentions, that is there anyone that is due a reward, let him step forward. And no one will step forward except for the ones that pardoned. That pardoned, they will step forward and receive the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So regarding that hadith, Shaykh Abdul Razak, he says that even though the chain of narration may be mutakallim fi, there may be some tendency that needs to be looked on that makes it slightly weak, but he says the ayah, the verse supports the meaning. And the verse is, فَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحْ, whoever pardons and forgives and rectifies, makes reconciliation, then his reward is with Allah. So the verse carries the same meaning. So this is the third one. Is that understood? So who can recap quickly the actual bullet point of number three? What's the third point? The question is, we've just taken the third point. So I just want to know, not all the big explanation, I just want to know, what is the third point? Yeah, but what was the actual wording that we took? The reason I'm asking you these questions like this, not to put you on the spot, but I want it to stick in your head. And one of the best ways to make things stick is having this kind of dialogue. Because when you will be tested, when someone's going to harm you, then alhamdulillah, these point one, point two, point three going to come to your head. Like when someone wants to do something to you and he's done, and you want to enforce that and shaitan's whispering, then you'll be like, okay, number three, knowing that the tremendous reward that a person gets from Allah if he was to pardon and if he was to leave the affair and remain patient, then he knows that the reward with Allah is tremendous. So now, number what? Number four. طيب. أن يشهد أنه إذا عفا وأحسن. And this is beautiful, wallah. جدا beautiful. And another side point as well, it's not in the book, but whatever that I can recall that comes to my mind, I will share. What we are actually going through now, the works of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, this is also for those who have understanding, a sign of the blessing of being sincere, a blessing of being a righteous person, being humble and living your life for the sake of Allah. Look how long ago Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah was around. Look how long ago he mentioned these words. And look at what Allah put him through by way of testing. That he was imprisoned and even died in prison simply because he was a man of the Sunnah. But yet, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years after, all across the world, his books are being studied. His works are being explained where he helps our lives. And this indeed is a reward from Allah, that Allah has blessed these people. That look, today we say Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimullah, we make dua, may Allah have mercy upon him. So we also pray that may Allah make us of those individuals that after our death, then our legacy and our teachings and what we taught can also be passed on. Maybe we may not ever reach this level, but at least be remembered as good. Let your family remember you as a person that you taught them good. You taught them salah. You taught them to be righteous. So at least that legacy can be passed on through your offspring. But look, it just made me think that all those years ago and still, in the small island of Tobago, we are still mentioning the name of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. And this goes to, this must be a sign that this man must have been sincere, that Allah allowed hundreds of years after his works to be benefited and spread. Listen to what he says regarding the fourth point. He said, if the slave pardons and shows goodness, if he pardons and he shows goodness, أورث ذلك من سلامة القلب لإخوانه ونقائه من الغش والغل وطلب الانتقام وإرادة الشر. He said, if you pardon and you show goodness, then due to that, your hearts will inherit. So you will inherit a sound heart. And you will inherit a sound heart for his brothers. So you will not have any wanting of harm to your brothers, or any deceit, or any venom, or seeking revenge in your heart. When you pardon, from pardoning, what takes place? Then your heart becomes sound. It is free from wanting to have that hatred and having that venom and wanting to seek revenge and wanting to harm your brother. And then what comes about after that? وَحَسَلَ لَهُ مِنْ حَلَاوَةِ الْعَفْوُ مَا يُزِيدْ لَذَّتُهُ وَمَنْفَعَتَهُ عَاجِلًا وَعَاجِلًا عَلَى مَنْفَعَةِ الْحَاصِلَ لَهُ بِالْإِنْتِقَامِ. He said, what comes about? That when your heart is sound, then you will taste the sweetness of pardoning. And that sweetness of pardoning, it is more beneficial now immediately and after, it has more benefits than if you was to take revenge. So when you pardon, your heart becomes such that it is free of any ill feelings. And then once you have pardoned, the sweetness that your heart feels, it is much more sweeter and much more content than what you would feel when you take revenge. So the sweetness of pardoning is much more sweeter than what you feel when you take revenge. And also, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, he says, أَضْعَافًا مُضَاعَفًا, and also, he will receive multiple rewards. So, the love and the sweetness that he feels, and the rewards will be much more multiplied than if he was to merely take revenge. Sheikh Abdul Razak, to comment upon that, he says that some people, فَبَعْدَ النَّاسِ يَنْتَقِمْ وَيَرْتَحْ, some people, they wish to take revenge and then they sit back and they think that taking revenge will bring them content. This is what they think. وَلَكِنَ الْقَضِيَّ بِالْأَقْسِ, but rather, the affair is opposite. The affair is opposite. Your heart will not be content. It is the opposite. And also Sheikh Abdul Razak, he says that some people may imagine and perceive that taking revenge, that pardoning is something low or is something weak. Right? But he says, when you pardon, then that is real contentment and relaxation of the heart. Why? Because your heart is free from any ill feelings. You don't have any hatred. You don't have any jealousy. And rather you are forgiven and you are seeking your reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says, Sheikh Abdul Razak, indeed, this is a very high station to reach. And he says, we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses the slave to reach this station. For verily, if he pardons, then Allah will aid him. And Allah will aid him to reach that station and also aid him to be patient when the harm reaches him. The next one. Which is number? Huh? Five. The next one, أَنْ يَعْلَمَ أَنَّهُ مَا إِنْتَقَمَ أَحَدٌ قَتْلِ نَفْسِهِ إِلَّا أُورِثَ ذَلِكَ ذُلٌّ يَجِدُهُ فِي نَفْسِهِ. Pretty much the same, but a slight twist. Whoever does take revenge and carries out this revenge purely for himself, then what will happen? He will inherit in his heart humiliation for himself. So the first one, when you pardon, you inherit what? Salamat al-qalb, that your heart is sound. This one is the one that enforced and took revenge, and due to that, his heart has now inherited humiliation for himself. But if he was to pardon, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have honored him. فَالْعِزَّةِ. So Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he mentions that مَا زَادَ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا بِعَفْوٍ إِلَّا عِزَّةِ, that when a person pardons, Allah only raises him in honor. So Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, then he says, فَالْعِزَّةِ الْحَاسِلْ لَهُ بِالْعَفْوُ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِ وَعَنْفَ لَهُ مِنَ الْعِزَّةِ الْحَاسِلْ لَهُ بِالْإِنْتِقَامِ. That is the bullet point. He says, the honor that is acquired by pardoning is more beloved to the one that is being oppressed. It is more beloved to him than the honor that he gains by taking revenge. I mean, May Allah have mercy upon this tremendous Imam and Sheikh. That how Allah blessed him, as Sheikh Abdullah Bukhari said, that generally we know about patience. And Sheikh Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziya rahimullah said patience is in three categories. And the one that we are talking about is the third category. All of these 20 points stem from the third category. The first category of patience is remaining patient upon the obedience to Allah. The second category is remaining patient and refraining from the sin, refraining from sins. And the third one is al-sabru ala ma aqdar Allah azza wa jal. The third category is remaining patient of that which Allah has decreed. So all of what we are talking about stems from the third category. And Sheikh Abdullah Bukhari, when he was going through this book of Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he said that look how Allah blessed him with such deep, intricate understanding that from the third category, look how many things that he brought and benefits that he brought to show you regarding how a person can remain patient and harms that reach him. So look, he said that the honor that he gets by pardoning is more beloved to him than the honor that he would get by taking revenge. And how does that honor come around? If someone wrongs you and then you wrong him back, when you wrong him back, he will not have respect for you. But if he wrongs you and you leave it, even though you know or he knows that you had the ability to enforce and take revenge, but you left it for Allah, he will only, even if he dislikes you, within him heart, he will still have to have respect for you and honor for you for the mere fact of the decision that you took. Another thing with what Sheikh Abdul Razak, he mentions, he said regarding the statement of Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, al-Iz hasil bil-afu ahabba ilay, regarding his statement of that the honor that he gets from pardoning is more beloved to him than and more beneficial to him. He said regarding this, he explains, he says, al-intiqam iz fil-zahir. Write this down, my brothers, and reflect upon this. Sheikh Abdul Razak, he explains. He said that when a person takes revenge, فَإِنَّ هَذَا الْعِزْ فِي الظَّاهِرِ, that when a person takes revenge, the honor that comes about, عَلَى الظَّاهِرِ, it seems that he has received honor apparent, which seems apparent. So when someone wrongs you, you take revenge, apparently it seems that it's a good thing that you've done and that is honor. But he says, however, yurithu fil batin adhul, however, within himself he has inherited humiliation in his heart, meaning that even though he has taken revenge, deep down he is not happy. He's not really content. When he takes that revenge and harms that person back, even though apparently people may talk, boy, you don't want to mess with him, look what he did. And it seems that it's honor out, but inside, really, as Sheikh Abdul Razak says, he has inherited humiliation within his heart. وَالْعَفْوُ ذُلْ فِي الْبَاطِنِ, he says that as for pardoning, it seems that it is degrading and low. Like for example, when someone does a wrong to you and then you pardon him, the people will think, what kind of honor is this? You let that go? A man mess around with you and you leave him? So it seems amongst the tongues of the people that you're a low guy, you just left it. But, so he says, so Sheikh Abdul Razak says, apparent, it seems That is something which is not a praiseworthy thing. However, within side haqiqah, in actuality, it is honor within, and it is honor with Allah. So this is the explanation of when Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said that it is more beloved to him, the honor that he gets from pardoning, than the honor that he gets from enforcing revenge. So Shaykh Abdul Razak explained that. And another point which I wanted to bring regarding the same point that we are bringing now, I come across a hadith and I thought it was extremely beneficial to mention it as well. This hadith is mentioned in the Sunan of Abi Dawood, and Al-Imam Tirmidhi rahimahullah ta'ala held that hadith to be hadith Hassan, Sahih Hassan. And the hadith really emphasizes this point. And Mu'adh ibn Anas radiyallahu ta'ala an, and the Nabiya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, man kathama ghaithan wa huwa qadir ala an yunfidhahu, dha'allahu azza wa jal subhanahu wa ta'ala ala ru'usil khala'ik. On the authority of Mu'adh ibn Anas, listen to this hadith. He said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that whoever can hold his anger, whoever can hold back his rage, وَهُوَ قَادِر, yet he has the ability to enforce his power and strength, meaning that if someone has wronged him, and when he is wrong, he is angered and enraged, but he holds back. Even though the Messenger said, وَهُوَ قَادِر, remember this, the Messenger said that he has the ability to enforce his power and strength, meaning that if he wanted to do a harm, he could very easily do a harm. The one that is messing with him doesn't have the ability to stand in front of him by way of strength. But he looks and he holds it for the sake of Allah, holds back for the sake of Allah. So you may think in our time that is something that is looked upon as weakness. Let's be truthful. Where I come from and where you come from as well, if someone wrongs you and you have the ability to enforce your strength, and even though this example here is not that you're going to look for trouble, it's not that you're going to look for trouble. Trouble has come to you. So this is what justifies us taking revenge, because we're saying, it wasn't me that went to look for trouble. He's bringing trouble to me. I'm just an innocent guy that's defending myself. But look at what the Messenger said, that the one that has the ability to enforce power and take revenge holds back. So you think it finishes there? You think, khalas, Allah will leave it there? When Allah could see the anger that you had, and Allah knows that you had the power to deal with it, but you just left it for Allah. So even though the people will go into their homes and leave it, you think that will be left with Allah, that Allah will just forget? No. Listen to what the Messenger said. He said, Da'a Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ala ru'usil khaliq yawm al-qiyamah. Allah will call that person on the day of judgment, ala ru'usil khala'iq, in front of the whole of the creation. So imagine, on the day of judgment, when all of mankind will be gathered, from all of the generations, min al-awwaleen and al-akhireen, from the first of them to the last of them, they will all be gathered. Then Allah will call that person by name and call him to come in front. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to him, يُخَيِّرُوا مِنَ الْحُورِ الْعَيْنِ مَا شَاءَ. Choose from the women of Jannah. Whatever you want from the women of Jannah, choose. in front of the whole of the creation. So yes, in this life, somebody may say to you that you are a weak boy, that you are somebody with weakness, but it will not go to waste with Allah. Allah will not forget that you held back for the sake of Allah. And on the day of judgment, you will be called in front of the whole of the creation. Just imagine your name being called in front of thousands, not even thousands, millions of creation. You're called, and look who's calling you. Rabbul Alameen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling you. And will say, choose from amongst the women of paradise. Hur al-Ain, they are the women of paradise. Choose, meaning that you will enter paradise. So when you hear hadith like this, voila, it humbles you. It humbles you and you think, khalas, carry on doing what you're doing. I seek my reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Next one. Shall I continue or is it time to stop? Huh? Another 10 minutes. We'll do one more then, inshallah. Taib. The next one, which is number, huh? Seven. Six. Sheikh Yusuf, ay rakam, what number is it? Six. Okay, you agree with him? Okay. Number six. And yashhad al-jaza min jins al-amal. That the reward, the principle, the reward is dependent upon the action. So good with good, bad with bad. So if you pardon, man afa an nas, afa Allahu an. Whoever pardons the people, Allah will pardon him. Wa man ghafara lahum, ghafara Allah. Whoever forgives the people, then Allah will forgive him. So in exchange for your goodness, you get something back even better. You pardon the people, Allah will pardon you. So in exchange to the wrong that has been done to you, you meet them with pardon. Sheikh Abdul Razak now explains some of this. He said, فَإِذَا عَفَوْتَ عَنِ النَّاسِ عَفَى اللَّهُ عَنْ ذُنُوبَكْ وَتَقْصِيرَكْ فِي حَقِّ اللَّهِ. That if you pardon the people and you forgive the people, then Allah will pardon you for your shortcomings regarding the rights of Allah. Because we are always falling short regarding the rights of Allah. So if you pardon the people, then Allah will pardon you with the rights when you are falling short regarding the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, we'll round up on that note because the next one, it requires some explanation and it's kind of long. So rather than starting that, inshallah, we'll finish on that. But what I want from my brothers and my sisters, wallahi, I admire and respect my brothers and my sisters for making the efforts to come. Because truly, you live in a land where Islam is very scarce. And it's not like, for example, we live also in a non-Muslim land, England. But in Birmingham, alhamdulillah, our jama'ah and our congregation is, mashallah tabarakatuh, for Yawm al-Jum'ah, we'll have nearly 1,600 people that will attend the Jum'ah. Conferences, you can't even have a place to sit. So due to the fact that there are so many of us, not that numbers mean anything, we have the ability to support and help one another. So obviously, you are, as you can see, don't have what we have. So it's harder for you. I say that you are even more of the ghuraba, more strangers. So what will help you definitely is knowledge. Knowledge. Wallahi, if I leave this island and I could only leave one message, is the importance of seeking knowledge. Let that become something which is extremely important in your lives. Just like, what is something which is important in the lives of the Tobagans and the Trinidadians? Would you say is a part of their life? Carnival? Carnival is a is a must in their lives. Certain roast chicken or something which is a part of their life, and it's everyone is there is consensus that that is a, something a part of their life. Sunday lunch, that's a must, yeah, for everybody. Well, whatever it is, you know the example I'm trying to give, make knowledge a must. When you see each other, then everything what is propagated amongst you, knowledge. And it doesn't mean that you have to spend hours and hours, but at least you're encouraging one another. Perhaps studying with one another, checking one another, going over the notes, but you're advancing. Don't be of those Muslims, wallah, that after 15 years, they're in the same boat. They've learned no other surahs, they've learned no other hadith, there's no principles that's aiding them. In the trials and the difficulties that you are facing, you don't have the weapon of knowledge to deal with the problems. And that's why it's like the wave that comes. Any wave that comes is sweeping you away easily, because you don't have the roots of knowledge to deal with these problems. And knowledge is what's going to help you deal with these problems and keep you firm. So please, go over your notes, go back. Go to the recordings. Brother Yusuf can help you with the recordings. Go over your notes. So at least, alhamdulillah, these things, they stick. These principles, they stick in your brain set, and you have these things with you. So when it is required, when these problems occur, you have this knowledge with you to deal with it. Barakallahu feekum. Jazakumallahu khairan. Aquli qawli hadha. Astaghfirullah li wa lakum. Fastaghfiruhu. إنه هو الغفور الرحيم.